Hard work beats talent when talent doesn't work hard. That's why when it comes to hard work, nothing works harder than a Chevy Silverado. No wonder Chevy Silverado is the official truck partner of the Chicago Bears. Check out a new Silverado at ChevyDriveChicago.com.
Thank you very much, Kim Gordon. Steve Bertrand here. It's a Wednesday afternoon, 13 minutes after 12 o'clock, the Wintrust Business Lunch. Terry Savage is here as well, as she is most Wednesdays. We're going to talk to Frank Sennett in the second half hour. And one of the things, I'm not sure exactly how we're going to discuss this, but the ESPN issue with several new Chicago athletes coming up, a hotel glut.
I'm not discussing that one, but I want to read it.
I don't think there's anything to read, Terry.
Oh, okay.
I mean, I think it's pictures.
So
Terry Savage is here, and I'm watching the WGN Morning News. You're on with Larry Podesh and Robin, and as you are, you're most Wednesdays, right?
And Wednesday mornings, right.
Right, and so all of a sudden, you start giving marriage advice.
My daughter has good credit and has a good condo on her own. She plans to marry someone soon who has terrible credit, and his house is in foreclosure bankruptcy. What should she do to protect her assets before the marriage?
There is a very simple answer to this question. She should not marry him.
Terry, what if
live
she loves
together.
Him?
Live together. This is 2016.
Never get married because he's got foreclosure on his record?
Well, you know what? It's going to stay on there for 10 years.
That's Terry Savage giving marriage advice earlier today.
I do not believe you're bringing this up. I mean, the whole European Union may be falling apart. Janet Yellen is testifying in front of Congress, and you think the critical financial issue of the day is my comment, which I will stand by.
And you're doing an Al Green song, Why Don't We Live Together? So tell me.
Really?
But that was interesting to me. So you did advocate.
You know that 2 years ago I wrote the book, The New Love Deal, with my co-authors, Gemma Allen, famous divorce attorney in Chicago, and Honorable Michelle Lawrence, who for 20 years was a divorce court judge. And we gave a lot of advice to people. And one of the things that surprised all three of us, and they sit on the front lines of the divorce wars, is that one of the biggest reasons people divorce is over money issues. And yet when they get married, they know what their politics, they know what sports, they like the same foods, they drink the same wine, they know what they're going to name their first child, or they've already had their first child.
Right.
And they never, ever discuss money. And my advice, as we toured for that book, was, look, before you get married, sit down with a cold glass of wine. Each of you pull your own credit report and exchange it.
Well,
and people go, oh, no, I could never show her that.
I'll show you this, but I won't
show you that.
Right.
Exactly.
Well, I did like the idea of you don't have to get, I mean, to protect yourself from this just by go through the relationship, but you don't have to get married.
Think about what's impacted when you marry someone who has bad credit and foreclosure. And that is, next time maybe you have kids, you want life insurance. It costs you more because you have bad credit. Your auto insurance costs you more. You're never going to be able to get a mortgage on the next house. And because even though you say you're going to keep you're not going to file a joint return and you're going to keep your credit separate, something will come that will link both of your credit reports together, or you'll need both of your incomes to buy that home, and you've effectively stagnated your future. So absolutely, there's no reason to get dragged down in the quicksand. When they say no swimming here, they mean it.
All right, so it's sort of an unlikely marriage too with Great Britain and Europe, right? They were slow to get in.
Oh, what a segue.
They were slow to get in. They never turned over their currency, and now they might be exiting. There's the big Brexit vote tomorrow. It's not going to happen, I don't think.
Well, the smart money is betting that Britain will remain in the European Union. However, there will be some changes, some material changes. But either way, what's going on now is a sign of the fact that the world is breaking apart, whether for better or for worse. You heard literally in terms of marriages. You heard Donald Trump this morning talking about the end of globalization and more concern with each individual country. It was a very unlikely group marriage of Europe. You have Germany with a strong economy that doesn't want to ever have inflation again. You've got countries like Spain and Portugal and Greece, of course, that have their economies now tied to the stronger currencies. And so the whole thing has been a big tug of war. It was a good idea, you know, everything from trucks crossing borders to people crossing borders to being able to cut out costs by having a common currency. There's great benefits to Europe being tied together. The concern is not only if Britain leaves, but what that will do to the rest
and
of
who
this
might
union
come next,
and what happens to trade, global trade.
All right, so I just what's fascinating to me is that it could be an American argument there, or their argument could be a British argument here, right? They're arguing over immigration, whether the immigrants are taking jobs or doing jobs that other people don't want. They're arguing over, you know, whether this would be good for the economy or bad for the economy. It's all, I mean, and in a way, we're all fighting about the same things.
Yeah, you know, there's a big cycle. If you're a student of history, which was my favorite field, you realize that cycles come and go. And when we get back to the 1930s, and when people are unhappy and don't have jobs, and that happened here in the United States, the Smoot-Hawley tariff, we're going to protect ourselves. In hindsight, there's a pretty general agreement that that deepened the depression, that when you have a breakdown of world trade, that leads to less global growth and less jobs and less prosperity. But let's not argue. It's not politics. It's economics. But what you have is these big cycles of global trade and cooperation. It certainly worked when they were settling America and we were the colonies. And then you have these tendencies to break off and become very nationalistic. Driven right now, you're right, by the central question, not political, but economic, of immigration.
We're going to check traffic, but I'm going to throw a book title to you. Cycles of American History by John Kenneth Galbraith.
Both go back to he spoke at my college graduation.
This is the Windcrust Business Lunch on 720 WGN. Terry Savage is in the studio, writes about personal finance at Huffington Post, the Chicago Tribune Media.
Right, and you can read the column. We're going to talk every week's column at terrysavage.com. Today's column is a little bit complex, but you need to know about it. It's money.
Well, here's the thing. So mortgage rates, right, are at a three-year low again.
Right.
Did I hear Orion talk about housing starts?
Housing sales are up. They're at levels not seen since 2007. So the market's going now.
People go to buy a new house or to build a new house, and then they're confronted with PMI.
Well, so here's what happens. You remember, I think the banks once promised, sort of, that they were never going to give out mortgages for less than 20% down. They were going to be very conservative. Well, now they're giving them out for 5% down, and some are even giving them out for 3% down. And, oh, Lord, are we on that ride again? Probably not. We're not going to have... they're checking your credit at the very least. And lenders...
what a pleasant change of pace.
Lenders require that if you have less than 20% down, you purchase PMI, private mortgage insurance. It doesn't protect you. It's not like if you have a heart attack, it doesn't pay for your mortgage. It pays the lender in case you default.
So you're paying...
And lenders got billions of dollars from the insurers in the last go-around with all the defaults.
Right, so you're paying insurance for your lender.
Yes, the lender.
You're not insuring yourself at all.
No. This is... And it's costly. I mean, it could cost $75, $80 per $100,000 you borrow. The cost...
A month.
The cost per $100,000 depends on your credit score. But you could double the monthly fee if your credit score is, say, below 700 or up at 780. The monthly fee could be twice as much. It depends on how much you've put down. If you put 10% down or only 5% down, it depends on the length of the loan. And the way you get rid of it, of PMI. Now, you're going to have it, and it's most likely going to be included in your monthly payment unless some lenders say we'll make it a bulk fee and we'll include it in the amount of your mortgage, and that way it'll look like interest and be deductible.
Now, I like that. I'd never heard of that before.
Yeah, some of the lenders do that, but basically, then you're building it into your loan amount. Your goal is to pay down that PMI. Now, how do you do it? Well, every month you send a check, and a teeny bit at the beginning goes toward home equity. If you're in a 15-year mortgage, a lot more goes toward home equity. The other thing that can happen is your house could go up in value. And we just heard the numbers. Home prices are up 4.6% or something like that. So as the value of your home rises, you can have a new appraisal. And if you only put down 10, maybe now you've got 20% equity
because
there's more value in your home.
You have to pay PMI until
now, the way the law works, until 22%. But if you get up around 20% home equity and you think you can show that, you could refinance the loan and no longer be paying PMI. Now, there's a reason right now to even think about paying this extra fee. Home prices have not yet risen back to those lofty levels. Mortgage rates are cheap. You might want to get into that home. Rents have been high. They're coming down a little bit. But you might find this the opportunity to get into that home, and you only have 5 or 10% down. And so that's why you would take on the burden of PMI. The goal would be to build equity as fast as you can, get rid of it. It's supposed to automatically come off your payment when you get to 22% equity. You got to watch very, very carefully and maybe get a reappraisal.
So you might have to pay for it, but there are ways to get around it, too.
It enables you to have a house with less
You can
down.
Read more at terrysavage.com. Terry, nice to see you.
Good to see you.
I'll see you next Wednesday.
Absolutely.
It's the Business Lunch on 720 WGN. It's 1236. This is the Wintrust Business Lunch on 720 WGN. Frank Sennett is here from Crane Chicago Business. You can read more from Frank's folks and the stories we're talking about at chicagobusiness.com. His visit is sponsored by Allstate, and we thank them for that. And we also thank Frank for the fact that he's fully clothed this afternoon.
I dressed up for you in a suit, Steve.
You did. You got the tie and the suspenders and all of that.
The braces, yeah. I want to look pretty for the listeners, you know.
Well, I bring up the clothing because one of the stories we're going to talk about, and I have been re-seeing it around, is the ESPN is out with their... What do they call it? Their nude issue?
Yeah, I think it's, isn't it the body issue?
The body issue,
yeah.
Right. And so we got some Chicago athletes taking off their clothes for the photographers.
That's right. So Danny Ecker, I was teasing him about how many page views his post was going to get yesterday for not a whole lot of work, did the wrap-up on this. And basically, a lot of Chicago athletes have a lot on display. Jake Arrieta, there's a video of him pitching nude. I was at a party yesterday, and a school party, and one of the moms
really?
From my son's class said, and he looks good. She'd already watched it. And then the Chicago Sky forward, Elena Delladonna, and then, of course, Chicago Red Stars in U.S. soccer forward, Kristen Press, all posing with strategically placed arms and things, mostly.
And balls.
Yeah.
Well,
anywho.
I think overall I read that, you know, so we've got two women, one man here from Chicago, but overall there are more men than women in this. I'm not so does this sort of give them cover for their swimsuit edition? Or?
Well, that's ESPN, the magazine, as compared to Sports Illustrated. So.
Oh, you're right. I'm sorry.
So Sports Illustrated still just does the swimsuits, but I think ESPN is a little more equal opportunity. But to your point, you know.
I was kind of blinded by the whole thing. I forgot to look at the masthead. okay, so what is the point of this edition then? Just a great pub?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's to, you know, probably titillate readers of any persuasion and just showcase the gorgeousness of these people who work out 20 hours a day.
There is something very elegant about it, and so it's nice. So check that out. Okay, tell me about this Business Options Away and the fact that they're expanding a Chicago operation, but it's fascinating to me. I'm not sure I've grasped the whole thing. Tell me about Options Away.
Yeah, so it was founded 2 years ago in Chicago by a couple of trading industry veterans, and they've basically taken the option trading concept and put it on airlines. You're going to make me laugh again. And so you can place an option for about $15 to hold a flight from anywhere from 24 hours to 21 days when you know, so you can lock in a price.
So does Options Away then buy the flight?
Yeah, so I guess they have agreements where they can put a hold on it.
Okay.
And so now they have a new product out called TripWatch, and that's, you know, you can sign up for those low fare alerts through various travel services. We'll email you, like Expedia or whatever. We'll email you when your flight to Hawaii is $500 or whatever. Well, TripWatch is doing something similar, but unlike a lot of alerts, they will automatically lock in an option on that fare that you have requested them to watch for, and then they will give you a chance to purchase it, because a lot of times you get those notifications, and by the time you get to the website,
it's gone.
Gone.
So they're putting a hold on it. They've got it, and they say if you want it, you've got 30 days to decide or something.
Yeah, like however many days. Right, exactly.
So who uses – are these business travelers?
I think savvy consumers of all stripes, but I would imagine business travelers would be a good chunk of these folks. And you can also use this service to purchase options on hotels. And you've got to do the purchase within 30 days of the travel date. And one of the founders said that 63% of hotels sold to Options Away customers are booked more than 30 days from the date of travel. So that, you know, it gives you that pricing confidence, you know, a little bit further out.
So These guys are going to be big, aren't they? I mean, they've signed up with Kayak, Expedia. I think 60% of the airline bookings now have some relationship with Options Away.
Yeah. So, yeah, all those places, Cheap Tickets, Hipmunk. And it does seem to me to be a very logical extension of, you know, the services that you get where they alert you. And then, like you say, you go and you could lose that out. So by giving you that option to place a hold on these prices and then execute on that sale, you can avoid a lot of consternation where you miss out on those fares.
And they're making money by charging a little extra for the hold?
Exactly. So Okay. You pay them a fee with the thought, you know, and I'm the worst on this. I will look and I'll see a fare and I'll think, oh, that's a little high. And I'll go back 3 days later and it's like $75 more and then $100 more.
Right.
So for $15, you can place a hold on that, and then, you know, if it goes way up, you've saved a ton of money.
And the airlines like it because they've got an active sort of outreach, right? These people are reaching out to potential customers to tell them about their product.
Exactly. So it's a good marketing thing for the airline.
All right, let's go. The big thing now, I guess, is these boutique hotels up in the neighborhoods, right? The old Days Inn on, what is it, Clark and Diversey?
Clark and Diversey. You know, this is a storied Days Inn for the music scene. Are you aware of this?
No. So I used to walk by the place all the time when I go to Lawrence of Oregano.
Back in the day. I remember that place. R.J. Gruntz is still up there.
The Half Shell was right on the corner.
That's
remember
right.
The Half
that's
Shell?
Right. But the Days Inn was where a lot of people used to stay when they would play at Metro.
Oh,
and
I didn't
so
know that.
Yeah, a lot of rock and roll history there, kind of like the Riot House in L.A., which was, you know, the Hyatt House. And
right.
That's where,
the Chelsea Hotel
in New York. Yeah, so this was for the north side of Chicago, a real rock and roll place for a long time. But now it's going to be a boutique hotel. It was just sold to the developer of London House, the Langham, the Godfrey. So they're going to create a neighborhood boutique where the Days Inn used to be, 133-room hotel. And, you know, it'll be no waffle machine in the lobby anymore.
But this is a company. Did they do the Hotel Lincoln as well? Is it the same?
Is it?
Well, I don't. Maybe it's not. But the Hotel Lincoln sort of flipped that way too.
Yeah, they're kind of following on the success of the Hotel Lincoln, which also was a Days Inn back in the day. So Oxford has now, with this hotel, it will be their 13th Chicago area hotel project. But it's the first neighborhood hotel here. So no, they didn't do the Lincoln.
Okay. So will their 14th one be the building we're sitting in?
Maybe so.
Right?
Yeah.
They're looking at Tribune Tower, too.
I think this could be that's right, because we talked about that a couple weeks ago. You know, this could be the broadcast suite.
Right, exactly. That would command a fetching price, I think, to sleep where Steve and Frank spent their afternoons. the laughter's going to come back. But so there's a big, we're talking about boutique hotels up on the north side and stuff. But these four, now, tell me about the hotel glut coming downtown. And I'm sort of hesitating in talking because, let me find my numbers here. Developers will wrap up 7 hotels with a little over 2,000 rooms next year.
Yes.
And then there's a group proposing or projecting that there will be like 4,300 new rooms in the year 2018. Now, I know those are hotels under development. A lot of those could fall apart. But
it's more notional, yeah.
We got a lot of hotels coming downtown.
Well, and this is the issue because this year started with the slowing in bookings.
Right.
So right now with what we've got, there's a slowdown, and they're talking about adding all of these rooms for next year. So, you know, and with Airbnb really on the rise, there's a lot of pressure there for especially leisure travelers coming into town, not so much the business traveler, but, you know, this may be a dicey bet.
The number 76% occupancy last year, 72-73% they expect this year, and by the end of next year, around 70%. So
yeah, so I mean, you know, you usually only build if you think that the trend is the other way, that it's tightening up in terms of the occupancy rates going up. But, you know, on the flip side, over the long term, this may be a good bet. And in the meantime, it may mean lower prices for people coming in to visit Chicago.
Frank Sennett, you can read more at chicagobusiness.com. Nice to see you.
Thanks, Steve.
We'll talk again next week on the Business Lunch. Thanks, Rory and Steve Bertrand here. You're listening to the Wintrust Business Lunch on 720 WGN. You know, as I said just a few minutes ago, we've been running commercials from time to time from Allstate. The fact that they're looking for agency owners, new people who might be interested in that, got me sort of wondering. We talk about people who start their own businesses or go into business, so why not an Allstate agency owner? Jose Fernandez is in the studio. Jose, welcome to the Business Lunch.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having us here. It's a pleasure. Thank you so much.
So where is your agency?
It's actually on the Irving Park area.
Uh-huh.
It's actually Irving Park and Elston, the street that joins between Irving Park and Elston.
Well, you know, and I'm asking you where it is. I guess this speaks to the company, but I mean, you don't necessarily have a geographic region or just a location where you sit?
Well, we are allowed to do business in the whole state of Illinois.
Okay.
But we market more locally.
Sure.
And the more local that we do marketing, the best that it is for us, because we tend to help people on a one-to-one basis.
It's all about community, really, isn't it?
It's about community involvement.
Yeah. Like any small business.
Absolutely.
You opened up your own 2 years ago?
Yes.
How's it going?
Excellent. Fantastic. Better experience impossible.
What did you do before?
I was on home building before that in Florida.
Uh-huh.
And then when I moved to Chicago, and it was almost three years ago, I was working at a life insurance company, a very small company. And then they were asking me, how do you want to take your career in this and that? And one of the vendors from there introduced me to this opportunity.
Nice.
With Allstate. And so far has been top-notch.
I can see the smile on your face. So you enjoy it.
Yeah.
What's the hardest part?
The hardest part is the time that you spend. You spend countless hours working with people and not being able to be there for everybody 100% of the time. Might be you have to be able to manage your time accordingly. But there is not really a hard
right.
part. It's more about being there for customers and you're helping them.
It would be the hard part for me, Jose. This is talking about myself, right? I mean, because I'm sure people are in the market for insurance. They see Allstate. They say, I'm going to call Jose or I'm going to call someone. But you also have to reach out and find people sometimes, right?
Sure.
That would not be very good at that. Are you any good at that?
Oh, you know what? If you come into this, you one of the things that you have to be prepared of is knowing that you have to help everybody.
Right.
And it doesn't
whether they
matter
know it or not.
Whether you know it or not, number one. And number two, it doesn't matter anybody's circumstances. You have to adjust to everybody's circumstances. And that's why you do like a very deep evaluation of everybody to help them out the best that you can.
Oh, so I asked you about the hardest part. What's your greatest joy? What's the moment that you're like, oh, I'm so glad I'm here?
Honestly, it is the whole day.
Yeah.
And I have to be honest with you. I enjoy what I do. I guess.
But sometimes you must deliver bad news or news that's discouraging to your policy owners, too.
We have, and in the past, we have done it with customers. I'm going to mention you a case. We had a gentleman that his son died, and he had a life insurance policy, and we had to help him out to recover. And even that you're bringing bad news to somebody, the joy to help them out to recover the best that they can based on their circumstances, it is greatly appreciated
right.
by the customer and the community. So honestly, to be there for them is kind of the best thing.
Well, and so we sort of hit that earlier, but the idea is that, you know, whether you're selling whether you have a hot dog stand or you're selling cars or, you know, whatever, if you're a small business owner, it's all about the community where you live and the relationship that you build up with them, right?
Absolutely. Actually, if your community is doing well, if you're part of your community on a day-to-day basis, you are doing well.
Right.
If you develop relationships among everybody that is part of the community, it doesn't matter whether they are a mechanic or whether they're a bank owner or whether they're the president of a bank or whether it doesn't matter
right.
who they are. If you are involved in your community, you are being able to create that network that will help you out to get going.
Are you one of those guys? Is at every meeting? I'm at the Kiwanis meeting. I'm at the book club meeting. I'm at the
We go to every honestly, sincerely, yeah. anywhere we
right.
can.
Eat the donuts and the coffee, the bad coffee.
It doesn't matter the time I'm there.
Well, you know, and so if and I know Allstate's looking for people, so what is it about you, do you think, that makes you a successful agency owner, or what is it that people should sort of look for in themselves to see if maybe it's a fit for them?
Allstate, it's a company that is a fit for all. Honestly, even I have met agents that are very shy people, but they're very good at something.
Right.
And they base their strength on, base their efforts
That's
on their strength.
Yeah.
So, I am a personal person. So I talk to anybody. I joke with everybody. I have very good relationships. So I have no problems in dealing on a day to day with people. But there is other people that prefer to do something else, and it's fine. So you don't have to have a trade. You do. It's such a broad business that we're on. Meaning we are actually here to protect families and
right.
businesses and so forth. But you choose your niche.
So it's wide enough that you can find somewhere to fit. How do people find out more information about you and your business?
They can go online. Our number is always available. Where they're 12 hours a day. In the office, so more than glad, 773-463-1932, or you can hop online into allstate.com, look into my zip code 60618, and they'll find us there.
Look for Jose Hernandez.
Fernandez, yes.
I have trouble with my F. Jose Fernandez.
That is correct.
It was nice to meet you. Congratulations, good luck, and I'll see you at the Kiwanis meeting.
Oh, anytime. Honestly, more than glad. It will be our pleasure.
It's the Business Lunch on 720 WGN.